Lifting the Veil is your new go-to podcast to gain an exclusive and unfiltered glimpse into the world of weddings. A must-listen for both seasoned vendors and soon-to-be newlyweds, where we will embark on an exploratory journey through all things weddings. From the essential knowledge you need, to the knowledge you don't, to the often overlooked, we're leaving no stone unturned. We'll also dive into the aftermath of a global pandemic that reshaped the weddings you used to know. Join us as we lift the veil and empower you to plan, hire, execute, and celebrate your event with confidence and flair.
So welcome back to Lifting the Veil, our episode number 2, Woo-hoo. How to vet and hire your vendors.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to dig into it. So how are clients finding you? How do they find us?
Referral, over and over.
Yep.
Yeah. Google, Instagram sometimes, but man, referral.
Same. So we have a strong word of mouth following referral. You know, couples are going to find people how they find them, social media, Google, The Knot, Wedding Wire, Zola, all of those things. But I think, a lot of it comes down to word of mouth in this industry. Mm-hmm. Somebody sees something that you did for someone they know, they talk to them, they find you, they love you, they ask around. Okay. Also, reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I often have parents ask me what they should tip us at the end of the night. Mm. And I say this, and I think a lot of people hate it when I say this, but I don't think you have to tip every single one of your vendors at a wedding.
Agree,
I just don't believe that. I do believe you tip the ones that go, that touch your person. So like hair and makeup people, you might want to tip your DJ or your band, or you might want to tip catering on top of their bill if there's not like a service charge included in that. But I don't think you have to tip everybody that shows up to do something at your wedding, because that's just a whole other bucket of money. I do say is, what I love, especially if you can't really afford to do a tip at the end of it, is a review.
Yes. A review goes so far. Interacting with our social media posts, just like sharing your experience with other people. So
absolutely.
You have a lot of power as a prior couple to help us in the future.
Yeah. And couples are looking at Wedding Wire and Knot. I'm going to always say Wedding Wire first, because we've been on there. We got grandfathered in from 15 years ago when we first started. And so that's where the majority of our reviews sit. We've got some on Google, some on the Knot. But that's where the majority sit. So you'll hear me say Wedding Wire first. There's nothing proprietary there. So I think, you know, when they're word of mouth, that's one thing. Otherwise, I always tell people to go read the reviews.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, a platform that I don't think is highly used for wedding vendors, but it's highly underrated, is to go see if your vendor is on Yelp.
Okay.
We had a terrible photography experience with my son's wedding. And it's embarrassing to even say that happened, because as a planner, it shouldn't happen to us. There's a whole backstory as to how that happened. Not even going to get into that.
No
right
judgment.
Now. Yeah. Not even going to get into that. But, the photographer that was hired was a photography, I call them conglomerates, like one of these big, it was not George Street Photo. And I shouldn't even throw that out, because I've worked with them and they're great, but it's like one of those that tends to assign out. And again, disclaimer,
we had one of those for our photography too, and they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
2 weeks after.
And George Street's great. So I have to just say that. I don't want to sound like I've never had a bad experience with them. So there are good ones, but on the flip side, like there isn't everything. There's a bad side to that industry as well. And so a lot of these larger photography groups that assign the photographer the week of your wedding is just a bad idea. Yep. So this particular vendor, which we actually got into, this is going to lead into this. We got into a legal battle with, because we wrote them a negative review because the experience was terrible. And when I say terrible, I don't mean we weren't made to feel lovey-dovey. Like the lead photographer's camera bag was in the bottom corner of some of the shots.
This causes me physical pain.
So it caused me physical pain.
What?
It caused me physical pain.
Oh.
Because as a planner, I hired a planner and turned it over and was really trying. And the planner did a perfectly fine job. It's not her fault what the photographer did, but they sent back these garbage crap pictures. Anyway, there were a couple of them we were able to salvage. And luckily, leading into it, I said, this is not going to go well. Something is just does not feel mm-hmm. right. And my sister is actually an amateur photographer. She does a lot of still life stuff, does beautiful photography. I said, hey, can you just bring your camera? Stay out of their way, but maybe snap some photos. And her photos are better than anything we got from them.
I hate that for you guys. Okay.
The point of that ramble, sorry, was to go on to Yelp because this particular vendor had fairly decent reviews on The Knot and Wedding Wire, but on Yelp, they were terrible.
Interesting.
And I didn't look at Yelp. I never thought about that as a vehicle because not all your vendors are on there. So anyway, the short answer there is dig into anything that gives a review. Oh, and Better Business Bureau, that's another one. If you want to see if somebody's really pissed off at a vendor, go look at the Better Business Bureau. Okay. Because if somebody's really pissed, they're posting it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
if they've done all the other things, they're just continuing to escalate.
Yeah. And so I'm not saying if you got somebody word of mouth, you don't have to go through all this extra legwork. Or if you hired your planner in advance and they know good quality people, you don't have to do this legwork. But if you're DIYing your vendor procurement on your own, then you have to go these extra steps, and going outside of the industry for reviews on other platforms will do nothing but help you along the way. So, so that was one. And then of course you can always ask your vendors that you're talking to for
who they love to work with.
Right.
Right. Cause I know you guys, well, obviously as planners have a like preferred vendor list or favorite vendor list or whatever you want to call it. And we do too.
Yeah.
We have people that we refer out not because they pay us or because there's no incentive for them or for us to have them on our list. It is truly just people we would trust with our own wedding day.
And that's important to ask. That's a good question. So couples, as you're listening to this, that's a good question. Are the people on your preferred vendor list, you're being the vendor you're talking to, are they compensated in any way to be on that list?
Right.
We are absolutely no.
You cannot pay to be on our list.
You cannot pay to stay on it. You can't ask to be on it. You're only on it because we found high value in your price point and your service level.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
If we would trust you with our own wedding, with our own memories, that's an amazing experience with you. That's how we refer you.
Yeah. And then that same list, unfortunately, has a sliding scale into the yellow flags and the red flags.
Oh, okay.
So you can be on that list, but if you don't take care of my people, or you become problematic to work with, or you start throwing crazy things in your contracts.
Yeah.
I have seen some vendors, this was a big trend a couple of years ago when reviewing contracts, there would be a clause. This also came up after the photography thing, which was so weird, but there would be a clause in these contracts that said that if you were not happy with the service, you were not legally allowed to post your negative review online. And I had to bring that up to clients.
I've heard of this and it just baffles me. I like literally cannot wrap my head around. I want people to know that what they're seeing is real, that whatever they're reading, good or bad, they've had the opportunity to read that and read my response to it too. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that being in a contract would make somebody not trust me.
This was about 2 years ago. It was in more contracts than I could tell you. Like, I think it might've been on the cusp of COVID, like COVID.
I do remember hearing people say that they had this on theirs.
Yeah. And I haven't seen it lately. So I don't know if it was something that people were trying out and said, you know, you're not going to be allowed to leave us a review or we're going to take legal action, a bad review, or we're going to take legal action in an attempt to make them talk to that vendor and try to resolve it ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was what it was. I'm going to maybe assume the best and say that's what it was, but it really was bad form that came across.
Yeah.
Super inappropriate.
I do remember during COVID, like so many contracts got reworked. Businesses found the weak places in their armor, where they weren't offering their best experience for couples, and also where they were susceptible as a business. And so a lot of contracts got reworked. Clauses got added in. I know we have a very dear friend of us who's a lawyer. And I was like, please, please, please look everything over and help me make sure that I'm offering the best possible beginning to end experience for myself and for my couples.
Yeah. And you have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that kind of touches into, so once they found us, they're contacting you either by phone, direct email, or your web form. And you were mentioning earlier in a side conversation that what happens when somebody calls you?
Yeah.
Your everything feeds your inquiries to your website. So what happens when somebody just picks up the phone and calls you?
Okay. So I'm not throwing shade at those who call me. I love to hear people's voice and all of that. For us, for Will and I, when we are, working with a couple, we're very experience-based. We want to get to know our couples as individuals and as a couple, but also want to welcome them into our lives, right? And so we're very intentional with our website, with our Instagram, with our Facebook, and leading people to our website contact form. And that's for like a multitude of reasons. One, so that they have lots of opportunity to see our style, to see our approach, but also to learn about us and how we want to help and tell a couple story, right?
And you're vetting them too. Like it's right. Part of the process to see like, are they the right client for you?
Yes. So on our contact form, we have a very few questions, but one of them's like, obviously, when's your wedding date? Where are you getting married? But then do you want to tell us anything about your wedding? It's, a little other tab or whatever. And when people say not applicable, give me a little bit more to work with, because I want to get to know you as a human being. I've made this clear. There's a whole tab on our website about who we are as a family and as a business, because Will and I, we're a husband and wife team. And, we want to welcome you into this photography family,
So I think this is the really good point when you're talking about vendors. This is why I don't like the word small business, because there's nothing small about what we do.
No.
But we're not giant corporations. Mm-hmm. And that benefits you so much as a client. Yes. If you will take the time to learn what we have to teach you and to meet us in the middle and learn about us and take advantage of everything we have to offer. Like so many times people hire us and I've got info and I'm trying to share it and I'm trying to give it to you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I got this. Well, if you got this, then what did you hire me for? Because I'm trying to make things easier for you. Mm-hmm. And so there is this, to that point about how they contact you and what that contact interaction says. Mm-hmm. So they're not just interviewing us. We're interviewing them too.
Right. We want to see if we're going to be a good fit. Like on a wedding day, you're going to spend so much time both before, during, and after with your planner and your photographer. We want to make sure that we communicate well, that our personalities jive, that we all get each other and we feel comfortable with one another. And so kind of contacting after doing some research, do some research on the vendors. Don't just go down a venue preferred list or your planner's preferred list and contact everyone. Do some research. See who will be a good fit for you.
Or hire your planner to do that for you.
Or get the pro to hire the pros.
Hire the pros. I like that a whole lot. I'm stealing that. So after they've done their initial outreach, then what a client can expect after that takes place is to get a contract and a proposal, review that, look for language that seems scammy or red flaggish, just take scammy even out of it, but just like the red flags of it. I don't know how much there are some scams out there, but I think with vendors, like especially if they're in a network in a metroplex like we're in, you're going to know who your reputable vendors are and who your scammy ones are. So just like with anything, always be leery of that.
Yeah. I think just using caution primarily on Facebook is where I see all of the scammy stuff happening. Amen. If you're on a Facebook wedding page, I would say that heavily. But if you're getting your referrals from your planner, other vendor, then that's
just don't interact with someone on Facebook and send them any money for the love of God, please.
Yeah.
Don't.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then once
contracts for sure. Look it over. For us, when we get an initial inquiry, we actually set up a time to talk on the video call or whatever. Oops, sorry. So we'll set up like a Zoom call and just chat. And that's not because we're wanting to sell you or anything like that. We just want to see again, if we're a good fit, we want to share more about our process. We want to hear about what you're wanting. What are your priorities for photography, for your wedding day in general? And then we'll send you client galleries so that you can review that from start to finish, exactly what real couples have received. You can see how we handle dark situations and bright situations and candid situations and posed ones.
Yeah.
You get the whole spectrum. And then we'll send them a kind of custom tailored quote.
Yeah. And we do the same thing. Like we'll do a phone call. I really prefer a Zoom or in-person meeting. And hey, bonus for anyone listening, if you meet me in person, I'm buying the coffee or the cocktails. So, I mean, it's just extra. But I prefer those because again, I'm about the relationship and it's hard to create a relationship with just a phone call. Mm-hmm. And so I really always do try to push for Zoom because I want you to see my face. I want to see yours. I want to make that connection. So I think that's really a strong point. So So you do those intro calls, mm-hmm. you send out your contracts, you send out the proposal. Mm-hmm. Now the couple has time to sit with everything and yeah. really make an informed decision. Don't usually expect them to make a decision in that like 24-hour hot zone.
No way.
But I'm in a couple of days, I'm going to follow back up with you, see where you are, see if you have any questions. And then yep. usually that's when we get the, okay, let's go ahead and get this moving along. Like we're ready to go.
Yeah. And if you are a couple listening to this and you've had these meetings and, you know, or you're about to, once your vendor sends you info, like please respond back. Let them know that you've received it. Let them know that you're reviewing this with your fiance or with your parents or whatever. And then if you decide to go in a different direction or if you decide it's outside of your budget, let them know. Because
totally
I don't want to annoy you.
Right.
I don't want you to feel pressured. I just want you to know you're not forgotten.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we want you to not feel like you were forgotten because we're too scared to bother you
right.
and keep coming back to you. But if we don't keep coming back to you, then you're going to think we don't care.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in this weird situation of walking a fine line of outreach. So yeah, Christine, you're exactly right. Like just tell us this was a fit, let's get going, or mm-hmm. this was not a fit, we've decided to go another direction.
Yeah.
And cool, I'm going to archive your inquiry and I'll analyze that at the end of the year when I'm looking at what my funnel rate was.
Exactly.
All the fun things
All
of
the fun things.
Business owner.
Yes.
That I want nothing to do with. I just want to do weddings. I don't want to do any of the business stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
so then after they've done all of that too, like I always like to make sure in the follow-up that we're staying in touch. Like I'm yeah. not going to probably reach out to you right in that 24 hours. I'm going to probably give you 48 and then I'm going to reach out mm-hmm. and then I'm going to follow up a couple more times and then I'm going to eventually leave you alone.
Right.
Because I'm not going to chase you down. I do feel
yes.
like if I'm chasing you down for an answer up front, then that sets the tone for me chasing you down for information through the whole process. And
yes, everything.
It's exhausting and it's just
hard. And sometimes we have couples that we just like really love and we really want to meet them in that communication middle zone where, you know, they have time and space, but at the same time, like,
yeah.
come on, let's
yeah.
chat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to
yeah.
get that going.
Yeah.
The other thing too, that that I think you need to think about, and this, I'm going to go into this deeper on another podcast episode, and actually you'll hear it as a reoccurring theme that I always say to my couples, and I say it with every single category they hire for, and that you as a couple should be looking at as you're vetting each vendor is what is your need versus your want.
Mm.
I had a groom one time say to me, oh, hey, so you're the person costing me all the money. No, it's not me. It's the person that you're getting married to that has big plans for her
mm-hmm.
wedding. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't actually make the decisions on the money you're going to spend.
Yeah. yeah.
And so what I tell people is it costs $80 to get married in Dallas County.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a want. So when you say
absolutely,
when you say to me, gosh, it's so expensive to get married. It's not expensive to get married. It's expensive to have a wedding.
Yes. It's all of the extra things. And you, like you said, you don't need that necessarily to get married. All
right.
you need is your fiance and that piece of paper.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So you got to think about need versus want. I also think that that helps kind of regulate your brain as
mm-hmm.
you go to not be so overwhelmed by the price points of things.
Yeah.
Because weddings are expensive. Events are expensive. Dinners out are expensive. All of these things are so expensive
mm-hmm.
now post COVID. And we have absolutely seen prices increase. So you have to
yes.
keep that in mind. But things are expensive because there's a lot of service that goes behind this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just, you didn't just go in and get your hair and makeup done and you blinked and your whole event was set up. There are massive amounts of people that are making all of that happen.
Right.
Before the wedding day and on wedding day. So
right.
you have to kind of keep in perspective. So this just goes into, we do a lot of education with our clients along the way. And I think a really responsible vendor, I know you and Will do that.
Yep.
Responsible vendors are doing that.
Yes.
And so pay attention to whether or not, you know, you've gotten the referral or you've looked them up online and read the reviews, you've gotten the contract, you're happy with all this. Now,
yeah.
how do you feel about how that vendor is making you feel
mm-hmm.
along the process? Are they coaching you? Are they
yeah.
educating you? Are they making you feel better?
Yeah.
So that's a bigger topic for,
yes.
again, when we get into need versus want, that's a bigger topic for another episode. But I think that is, this episode was just a quick look into how to preliminarily vet
mm-hmm.
and hire your vendors. And
yep.
I think you and I would both agree that no matter what you do, hire your planner first and they will
yes.
really help circumvent
yes.
a lot of this. And that's not a plug for me. That's just a plug for planners.
100 times, absolutely talk to your planner first.
Yep.
Y'all will help out.
Yeah.
All the rest.
Okay. Okay, that was fun. All right, so we'll get ready for episode number 3, where we're going to talk about the timing of hiring your vendors. So that's coming up next.
Next time.
All right.